investors increasingly expect their investments to generate a tangible societal or environmental outcome. In other words, they expect both impact and financial returns. Investment strategies that seek to contribute to the UN Sustainable Development Goals are becoming increasingly popular. Recognizing the importance of the 17 SDGs and their resonance with investors, Allianz Global Investors launched a category of thematic strategies aligned with these goals. But where do thematic investing and impact investing based on these UN SDGs meet? That's something I'll discuss today with Holger Wehner, Head of Product Specialists Equity Europe at Allianz Global Investors. Holger, welcome. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Holger, let's get right into it and maybe start with, well, kind of a personal question or a question of preference. Which of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals do you identify with most and why?
That's already quite a tough question for the start, I would say. They are all highly relevant. But I think goal 4, quality education, is a very important one because it enables many other goals and targets. I think goal 6, clean water and sanitation, is a very important one again because it is central to the achievement of other goals as well. So if we can achieve this one, we are in good shape to also do well on other goals. And then obviously one of the most important challenges, goal 13, climate action.
Great. Sorry for putting you on the spot like that, but
no problem.
At least we have a bit of an insight. Thematic investment strategies have enjoyed quite some popularity over the past few years. And I wonder, what is your explanation for this, also with reference to some of the other mega trends that we are seeing?
I think there are a number of reasons here. First of all, thematic investing is something that is very intuitive and it's also very transparent. Many of these themes and the underlying mega trends is something that you will realize in your daily life. Everybody will realize in his or her daily life. So it's something you can identify with and you can make an educated choice then for your investments. It's also easy to understand in this way because, as I said, you meet this in your daily life. And then what's equally important is this long-term structural focus. This is something that we have seen very well in 2020 when thematic strategies have been able to, to insulate themselves from market fluctuations and have shown a very good performance. So you have this very long-term, very structural focus on the things that happen over longer periods of time and you take a step back from these shorter-term market fluctuations. I think this is also something that is very helpful and obviously very welcome by investors. Now, thematic investing doesn't equal tech investing. There's more to thematic investing than just tech investing. That's something I find very important.
Right. We are currently in very unusual times. Did you notice many changes or developments in the key megatrends that you identified, especially following COVID-19?
No, and this goes back to what I said just before. I mean, we have this very long-term focus on things that happen over a very long period of time and developments that are unstoppable, like demographic change, like urbanization, like the resource scarcity trend, basically. So if you have even things like the COVID pandemic, which is a very important event, obviously, that doesn't put any of this in question in the end.
Okay. Tell me, how does Allianz Global Investors look at thematic investing in terms of investment philosophy?
We start with these mega trends. I mean, I've outlined demographic change, urbanization, resource scarcity, ad tech innovation as the fourth mega trend that we have defined. And this is basically our guide to ensure this long-term structural focus. However, the issue is that these mega trends, because they are so long-term and they are so important, they are just too broad and too vague to really invest in. So what we need to do is basically take it down to what we call the theme level. So we translate it into themes. They are more precisely defined. So it's a more narrow cutout of the megatrends as such, but they provide a clearer investment target. And despite being more precise, they still have a large investment universe and they have a large, a long horizon as such. So this is where the megatrends really become investable. You don't invest directly into the megatrends. It's just too broad to wake. What is it? I mean, demographic change can be anything. In the end, every stock on the stock market is related to demographic change. The themes is where it really becomes investable.
Right. Talking about those themes, Allianz Global Investors' approach to SDG-aligned investing allows investors to tap into tangible themes that have a positive impact, such as healthcare, clean energy, food security. How does this approach differ from other sustainable and thematic strategies in the market?
Well, I'd rather talk about overlap, to be honest, because SDG-aligned investing actually sits at the crossroads between thematic and sustainable investing. So it shares some characteristics with thematic investing in a broader sense, but also characteristics with the sustainable investing. So the overlap to thematic investing is this focus on long-term structural change, which is very important. If you look at the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, they are formulated with a view to 2030. So that already gives you, at this point of time, 10 years of a horizon. That gives you a very long-term view and should help to overcome these shorter-term fluctuations as discussed. With regard to the traditional sustainable strategies, SDG-aligned investing is actually something that presents a change in perspective. Because if you look at traditional sustainable investing, this is a risk management approach. You're trying to manage the tail risks in the sense of you're avoiding the worst polluters, for example. Here with SDG-aligned investing, we are changing our focus more towards an opportunities-based approach. Where's the opportunity that stems from the world ever becoming more sustainable? Somebody must provide those solutions, those goods and services that enable us to become more sustainable, basically. So we call this the handprint effect. You're pushing somebody else in a certain direction. You're enabling somebody else to become more sustainable. And this has a multiplicator effect because it's not just one company or one person that is enabled, but it can be many. As such. So we focus on this handprint instead of the footprint, which is the risk management perspective. And we try to invest in these key enablers that have these solutions for us to become more sustainable. And the important point here is that because these solutions are becoming ever more important, yeah, we want to become more sustainable, governments, regulatory support, but also societal support. In the end, the financial alpha comes with this environmental and social alpha. We can achieve the three goals at the same time. We can become more environmentally friendly, more socially friendly, and at the same time have a good financial return by investing in these key enablers.
Mm-hmm. And how does that translate into themes? So which thematic areas are crucial in addressing the SDGs and why?
Our view basically was when you look at the SDGs, I mean, there are 17 SDGs, so this is already quite complicated. And there's also a lot of interrelation between these themes, for example. Some of the underlying targets are pretty complicated and not easy to understand. And in particular, as an investment advice, difficult to handle, basically. So this is where we thought actually thematic investing provides an edge because we can translate these SDGs into themes. We can group them, basically, because some of them, as I said, are interrelated. And we can make this better to understand and easier to access, more intuitive in the end. So what we've done is we have formulated 8 themes down from 17 SDGs to 8 themes. You can basically split them up into social themes. So this would be education, social inclusion, financial inclusion, and health. And then the environmental goals, which would be clean land. You could also call it circular economy, clean water, clean air, or otherwise also called energy transition. And then finally, food security. I mean, the latter, food security, is probably addressing a bit of social as well as environmental targets. Mm.
And you mentioned before SDG alignment. Could you specify what you mean by that?
The point basically is we use the Sustainable Development Goals, so the SDGs, as a guide here. We want to allocate capital with the intention of ultimately creating positive environmental and or social outcomes. I mean, in the best case, you achieve both, but you want to achieve positive environmental or social outcomes in the end. So the way to achieve this is, like I explained, you're looking to invest in these enablers. So we're looking for companies that have services or provide certain products that help us to achieve these targets that are set out in the SDGs. So the way you go about is basically you start by analyzing these targets. There's more than 160 targets underlying the 17 SDGs. As I said, this is where it gets a bit complicated. And you basically try to identify potential solutions. So what are the things that can help the achievement of these particular targets, basically? And if you have identified such solutions, that is already your alignment. Basically, it's a very concrete link to the SDGs. We're really looking for, as I said, goods or services that can help in the achievement of the targets. And then, if you want to structure this, in the end, you're basically also looking at the quality of this contribution. So how good is this solution? Is it scalable? What's the cost connected to it? Can it be implemented everywhere, or are there certain obstacles? How does it compare to other solutions as well? And you obviously have a preference for the best solution in this case. And as I said, the result then is you're achieving this environmental improvement or social improvement, but because the company will see business on that basis, you will also achieve a financial performance.
Let's zoom in a bit more, Holger, on the strategies at Allianz. Which strategies that are aligned with those UN SDGs that you mentioned does Allianz Global Investors offer?
We've put a range of strategies in place, six altogether, and they are obviously following these themes that I have outlined. You can basically split them into two groups. They are multi-thematic strategies, so more than just one theme, and then single-theme strategies which focus on one of these themes particularly. With regard to multi-thematic, we have a fund called Allianz Positive Change, which in an actively managed way can cover all of these SDGs. I say can cover, I mean, because it's actively managed, something might be in the portfolio or might not be in the portfolio, depending on our assessment and our choice in the end. But potentially, it covers all SDGs and all themes. Then we have a fund called Allianz Clean Planet, which covers the environmental side of the SDGs. So we're looking at these themes, clean water, clean land, and clean air in the end. And then we have four single theme funds tackling the water theme, so Allianz Global Water, then Allianz Food Security, I mean, the name already gives it away, Allianz Smart Energy, which is the clean air or energy transition theme, and then Sustainable Health Evolution, which basically tackles the health targets in the SDGs.
To get a clearer picture on what that actually means, let's zoom in on, for example, the one you mentioned, the Allianz Global Water Strategy. And I have a couple of questions that come to mind, and maybe we can just discuss them one by one. So talking about this Allianz Global Water Strategy, what issue does this strategy aim to address through investing?
Yeah, it's actually a very simple problem. We have a rising demand for water. Population growth, rising industrialization, changing consumption patterns. I mean, meat consumption, for example, that all puts pressure on water demand. You need more water for this, basically. But at the same time, the water supply is obviously strictly limited. Yeah, we can't expand the water supply. And often also you have the issue that the water is not available in the right place or at the right time, basically. And this puts a lot of stress on the overall water system, which then is something that needs to be tackled. And as we have discussed, there is one particular target within the SDGs, SDG number 6, clean water and sanitation, which has explicitly formulated targets around this.
So is that the conviction behind the theme then?
That is the conviction behind the theme as well. There's a number of points here, actually. I mean, this is the general strategic thought behind it. You also have a bit of a tactical element here. I think it's particularly interesting now because you have this widespread support for more sustainability, basically. So this shows, for example, in all these government plans. If you look to the US with the government change, if you look to the green agenda in the European Union, if you look at the upcoming 5 years plan in China, there's a lot of support for example, for infrastructure investment. And a lot of this will be earmarked for water infrastructure. So there's also some tactical element at this point of time. The water theme is actually very interesting because it's a good example for a very long duration theme. I mean, we started our dedicated water strategy already back in 2008, and investors had a good return on this since. And here we are more than 12 years later, and we're still talking about a lot of potential because many of the needs have not been adequately addressed yet.
Perhaps a very obvious one for you. How is this strategy aligned with the SDGs?
There's a number of alignments you can do. I mean, first of all, you look at the SDG 6, obviously, and the underlying targets, and you will see that water availability is, for example, something that is discussed there. So how can we make clean water available to everybody? I mean, that is something we in Europe are not aware of because it comes from the tap. Yes, as easy as that. But it's a big, big issue in many other countries. If you start traveling, you will realize you can't drink the water from the tap. And in many areas, you don't even have the tap as such. Then you have a problem with regard to water efficiency. Yeah, we are just wasting too much water. There's a lot of water being lost because of not adequate infrastructure, basically. So that's also something we need to tackle. It's also about the quality of water. I mean, the corona crisis has put a bit of a spotlight on this. If we have the recommendation, wash your hands. I mean, good, but if you don't have clean water to wash your hands, bit of a problem, basically. So again, we in Europe might not really feel the pressure, but it's something that is very widespread. The interesting thing about the water problems is we know the solutions, actually. They are available. So this is also where we can identify interesting companies and companies that have good solutions, basically.
Yeah.
We just need to start investing.
So you just mentioned companies. Which companies do you target with the Allianz Global Water Strategy?
Yeah, it's a range of companies. You're starting with the utilities, basically, those companies that run the water networks, probably. Then you have companies that provide technology, for example. Smart metering is something that has become very interesting in the sense of more efficient water usage, basically. And then you also have companies, for example, that do filtration systems, or when you look at the corona situation, what was used to treat water is the ultraviolet treatment, basically, which takes away the virus as such. So there are also quite a few companies providing such technology. If we now spend time away from our offices, that is actually a problem because the water gets stale in the office, and when we return, we might have a bit of a water issue in these buildings. Actually, same applies for hotels. So here's another investment need. Might be a small one, but as an anecdote, I think it gives some insight on how important water treatment, water quality, water availability actually is.
Exactly. You mentioned a lot in these answers, but how do investors benefit from all of this?
Well, you can benefit by investing in our fund, obviously. I mean, joking aside, you're looking for companies that have these solutions, actually. If we agree that there is an investment need for water quality, for water availability, for water treatment, and so on and so forth, basically, then somebody will be on the receiving end for these investments. So if you have good solutions, if you have high quality solutions, scalable, as I said, also cost efficient as such, you will do swift business simply. And this will be good for the companies, will be good for the share prices. And this is where we want to participate as investors. And as already discussed before, you're tackling the problem. So here's an environmental return, social return as such, but we can also achieve the financial return. This is intrinsically connected to each other. Yeah, we're not trying to take advantage of rising water prices. That's not what we want to do. We're not buying water as such, but we really want to contribute to the solution of these problems.
Lastly, for this podcast, I'd like to discuss a bit with you measurement and engagement, always an interesting topic. How do you quantify the extent of the contribution of a company to the Sustainable Development Goals?
Yes, obviously an important point and something that is not too easy to tackle, actually. I mean, this is where we spend most of our time in the end. I would say if you want to frame this, we are looking at two aspects, basically. First of all, it is this quality of a solution. So we have discussed this already, availability, scalability, cost efficiency, comparison to other solutions, basically. And if you then basically have a number of companies and compare them, you can do a bit of a ranking if you want. And you would go for this company that has the best solution, obviously. And the assumption here is if you have the best solution, you will see most of the business. So this should be good for the company, for the share price, and so on, as we have discussed. That is a qualitative assessment based on our fundamental analysis of the companies. We are looking at those solutions, we are comparing them, and we're making a judgment how well is the company then connected to the theme that we want to invest in, how well does the solution contribute to the SDG targets. And then the second number you want to look at is the overall exposure of a company. I mean, you might call it the purity, and the simplest way of looking at this is the revenue exposure. However, here's a bit of a warning. Current revenues is the status quo. We are, as investors, always looking into the future. So it's actually about future revenue exposure. And you also might want to have a look at profitability connected to this and so on and so forth. So it's a bit more complicated than just looking at simple revenue share. And here you basically want to ensure that most of the business is really related to those themes, to those targets and SDGs in the end. Because if you have a marginal business exposure, something else might blow up and you don't see the benefits of your SDG exposure as such. So the simple rule is the higher the purity, the better. This leads in the end also to a bit of a, let's call it a small and mid-cap bias, because you have a preference for those specialized companies, for those companies that really have a more or less pure play exposure in the end. But that ensures that you're really then also moving with the theme as such.
Right. You also interact or engage with these companies. How does that work? How often do you reach out to them?
Yes, we do. I mean, we are fundamental investors, so we are in touch with the companies anyway. And this is something where we use our whole research platform. I mean, we do have portfolio managers and analysts across the globe. So we normally have those people closest to the companies also doing the engagement as such. And engagement serves a number of targets here. First of all, engaging with the company strengthens the relationships. I mean, you just get closer to the companies if you can really, if you're trying to contribute, basically, if you have a discussion with the company, not just receiving the broadcast of the company, but really discussing with the company as such. That's a different thing. And then it provides valuable insights because you're discussing things that are away from the usual discussion points in fundamental analysis. You're going one step further, something that might not be fully relevant at this point of time, but might have implications in a longer view in the end. So you get additional information as well, always valuable for us as fundamental investors. And then because we're looking at positive outcomes, ecologically, but also socially, you can also try and push those companies further in a certain direction in order to even improve these positive outcomes. So in the end, we will basically target both the footprint of the company, bring down your CO2 emissions, for example, but also the handprint. How can you make this product even better in order to have an even better contribution to the achievement of the SDGs. And the target is here to improve the net outcome. Yeah, the handprint minus the footprint is your net outcome. And we obviously want to maximize this, the best possible net outcome.
Right. So it's all about the ongoing conversations and the long-term relationships here, right?
It is, yeah. We had discussions with two companies in the agricultural space. I mean, they are interesting, for example, for the theme of food security. I mean, agriculture is where everything starts, and there's a lot of issues in agriculture as well. For us, food security is not only about the sheer amount of food being produced, but also the quality of this food and also the environmental impact during the production of this food as such. This is connected to SDG number 2, zero hunger, but obviously also has a number of implications for other SDGs as well. So what we engage with these companies is, what is their footprint with regard to agricultural production? Yeah, the use of fertilizers, the use of pesticides, the water use as well. So here you also have a link to the water theme in a certain way. And you definitely want to discuss the footprint of these companies.
Thank you very much, Holger.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You listened to a podcast about how investors can make the Sustainable Development Goals investable through a thematic approach. I would like to thank today's guest, Holger Wehner, Head of Product Specialists, Equity Europe at Allianz Global Investors, for his time and his insights. For more podcasts, please visit the Fonds News website, fondsnews.nl/podcast.
Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. The volatility of fund unit or share prices may be increased, or even strongly increased. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results. Investment funds may not be available for sale in all jurisdictions or to certain categories of investors. For a free copy of the sales prospectus, incorporation documents, daily fund prices, key investor information, latest annual and semi-annual financial reports, contact the issuer at the address indicated below or allianzgi-regulatory.eu. Please read these documents, which are solely binding, carefully before investing. This is a marketing communication issued by Allianz Global Investors GmbH, AllianzGI.com, an investment company with limited liability, incorporated in Germany, with its registered office at Bockenheimer Landstrasse 42-44, 60323 Frankfurt M, registered with the local court Frankfurt M under HRB 9340, authorized by Bundesanstalt für Finanzdienstleistungsaufsicht, www.boffin.de.